salt is going to be up and the relationship can be at risk. That's where the ulama ikram have given the flexibility that if she tastes the food and spits it out immediately with the niyat, that the husband will not be displeased, that inshallah it will not be considered makruh. To complain of hunger and thirst. Now this is going to happen a lot. It happened last year. Whenever fasts come in summer, we hear it throughout the whole day. And the first Ashura especially. That's why this is put there, that we start our Ramadan with these things in mind. That everyone knows it's a long fast. There's no point of saying it. Oh, bade bade roze aa gaye. Oh, abhi tak itne ghante ka roze hai. And even at Sahari time, we complain that eat more. It's a very long fast to go through. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has given us these ibadahs. Allah knows how to implement them and Allah knows we can do it. So any ibadah given to us is because there is capability of doing it. If there wasn't, if it's too difficult, Allah would not have given it to us. So we have to remember that fasts come in the winter as well. And now we're being tested in the summer, then we'll be tested in the winter. In all degrees of Allah, I'm happy with it. Allah is telling me to not eat in summer, I'm ready for it. If Allah tells me not to eat in the winter, I'm ready for it. So I don't want to show any gesture of disliking. Oh, abhi tak roza nahi. And this happened many from those people who keep time a lot. And that ulama ikram have suggested that don't keep track of time that much. Like, oh, there's still 5 hours left. There's 3 hours left. There's 20 minutes left. What happens? Now it feels like it's long. And then we're going to end up saying something that can be considered a complaint. So shikayat karna, roze ki halat mein ki bada lamba roza hai, aur ye kya hoga, wo kya hoga. This is something that is taking away from our fast. It says, sawab mein kami aati hai. Sinful acts during fast. Now, to do sins throughout the year is already disobedience of Allah. But when ibadat are being multiplied, then sins become also very severe. Jab har cheez ka hume nafil ka sawab farz ka mil raha hai, farz ka 70 farayz. So, ab kya hai? Ab gunah ke bhi utne hi zyada wabal hai. We have to keep that in mind that it goes both ways. So if I'm misusing my eyes in the state of fasting, misusing my ears, my tongue, lying, backbiting, hurting people, and anger issues, all of that will have a bad effect on my fast. We only get this opportunity once a year, the whole month we are fasting, and then why lose it by doing these disliked acts? And sinful acts regularly to do those, it constantly takes away. So by the time iftar comes, not everyone is getting the equal amount of reward. There are people who disobeyed Allah throughout the day. Now, technically, they might have fulfilled the obligation, but because of those sins, misuse of eyes, ears, tongue, hands, all of that is going to be considered taking away from the nuraniyat and the sawab of the fasting. And the last one is to take the water too much up the nostrils or gargle unnecessarily. When we do wudu, there's the water that goes up the nose. Now, in fasting, this is not necessary to do too much effort in this, in accomplishing this. Similarly, in the shower we take, the gargling. Ulama ikram have said, you don't even have to gargle. You should just rinse your mouth because there's so much of delicacy there that if water goes down the throat, what's going to happen? The fast is gone. So, if a person is unnecessary gargling again and again, or bar bar naak mein pani dal, so what are you asking for? That you're taking that risk again and again and again. And possibility is that the fast is going to break. And all those things that lead to breaking the fast, they are all makruh acts. Ji. This is during the gargling. After the gargling, if we rinse our mouth, and if there's water remaining in the mouth and it's part of the saliva, then it counts as saliva. So, but to constantly rinse, bar bar karne se. مثال کے طور پہ پیاس لگ رہی ہے میں بار بار کلی کرتا جا رہا ہوں اب مجھے پتہ ہے پہلے سے کہ یہ پانی کچھ نہ کچھ رہتا ہے اور پھر میرے حلق میں بھی جائے گا سو رائٹ وین اٹ گیٹس ٹو دیٹ پوائنٹ ناؤ اٹس بینگ سبٹریکٹڈ فرام دی فاسٹ اینڈ اٹ بیکمز مکروہ اینڈ ونس وی نو دیٹ ہول بنچ آف واٹر جسٹ وینٹ ڈاؤن مائی تھروٹ دین اٹس گونا بریک دی فاسٹ از دیئر ا کمپنسیشن فار دوز دیٹ آر انیبل ٹو فاسٹ ناؤ دیئر از ٹو تھنگز ہیئر دیٹ آر ٹو بی پیڈ ون از نون ایز کمپنسیشن دیٹ از دی فدیہ کسی چیز کا بدلہ دینا. And then the other thing is known as expiation, kafara. Ke jab saza aati hai, to phir us saza ko kaise dur ki jaye. So here we're talking about the fidya. So yes, for those that are terminally sick, that means these people do not have hope of getting better. Koi aisi bimari hai ki usme umeed nahi hoti ki ab aadmi behtar hone wala hai. Doctor bhi keh dete hain ki aapka ab ye bimari rahegi aur ye ilaaj ye rozana ki dawai hai. Iske ilawa aur koi shakal nahi hai. So in those cases, now many people, they end up paying fidya really early. Just 2 days ago, somebody asked me that, you know, can I just go ahead and pay because I already have this disease. So it's not allowed to pay fidya before Ramadan. It's got to be done when the ibadah time starts. So if we do even send it overseas, you have to ask them to spend it in Ramadan so that the fidya is applied correctly. And this is for only for those people that are terminally sick or they're so old that that strength is no longer there to stay hungry. ये बहुत ही मुशक्कत वाली सूरत में आता है फिदिया. ये इतना आसान नहीं है कि मैं रोजा नहीं रख सकता, मैं पैसे दे दो. इसमें ये सूरत बहुत बड़ी गलत फहमी है फिदिया के बारे में कि जब एक शख्स इतना बीमार है कि उसको सही होने की उम्मीद नहीं रही या इतना ज़ईफ हो गया कि उसका ज़ौफ उस हद तक है कि वो अब भूखा नहीं रह सकता, कि डॉक्टर ने कह दिया कि अगर आप भूखे रहेंगे तो या तो आपका मर्ज बढ़ जाएगा या आपकी मौत हो सकती, उस हद तक है ये मामला. So it's so severe that I should not be thinking about fidya until I know for sure that I have no hope of getting better. If it's something that a flu or something that's temporarily makes a person sick, a fever, and he has to take medicine, then in those days only, he's not going to fast, but he has to make it up. There is no point of paying in these situations, that it's all about making it up when you get healthy. فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ. The Quran says if a person is sick, he has to make it up later on. If a person is traveling, he has to make it up later on. That's the thing that we have to understand. And when there is a terminal sickness, جب امید نہیں رہتی, let's say somebody has diabetes, and every single day he has to take that medicine. If he doesn't, chances are he's going to either get worse, in his case, really bad, or he can even die. Or another disease of that liking, it has to be understood that this is only for those individuals that have lost the ability to fast. So what is going to be the amount? Sadqatul Fitr. So we've announced $10 is going to be for this year's Sadqatul Fitr, but we should know the details of what we are giving the Sadqatul Fitr in return for. So there's wheat, so gandum. Now wheat has to be given half sa' of wheat, that means around 3.2 pounds of wheat can be given. That's the least amount. So let's say if a person is paying his fidya for 30 days. So 3.2 pounds is about $3 to $5 of wheat. 3 se 5, kam az kam, kuch ulama ne $2.5 bhi kaha hai, but $3 se $5 ka zehn mein rakhein ki agar mujhe fidya dena hai, kam az kam $3 ek roze ka to mujhe dena hai. So 3 times 30, you'll go like that and pay off $90. So if it's for many years in the previous years, so go with the least amount. And then when Sadqatul Fitr time comes, that's one thing and only once. So we should try to pay more in the Sadqatul Fitr. Go with the barley or the dates and the raisins. That's about $10 or more. What nullifies the fast? Things that nullify the fast are two kinds. Now, roze kin cheezon se toote? ऐसे कुछ चीज़ें ऐसी हैं जिनसे रोज़ा टूटता है, कज़ा लाजिम आती है कि उसको दोबारा रखना है, और कुछ चीज़ें ऐसी होती हैं कि दोबारा भी रखना है और कफ़ारा भी देना है. That's why there's a two types of situation and we're going to elaborate on both, inshallah. So the first type are those things that only qaza. That means this person violated the fast with these following ways and now he has to make up the fast. The number one is swallowing something intentionally that is not used as food or medicine. So aisi cheez nikal jana jo ke na khane ki ho na dawai ki ho. Misal ke taur pe kagaz kisi ne kha liya, koi rubber kha liya, kisi ne koi plastic ki cheez kha liya. Now these things are not food. Now if a person is intentionally eating them, so what is going to happen, his fast will still break but is not going to constitute a kafara. That means he doesn't have any penalty, but he is going to make that fast up again later on in the year. Anything forced into the mouth of a fasting person. People, you know, this doesn't only mean that somebody grabs us and puts something into our mouth. That hardly happens. But sometimes in countries from the government, it is not allowed. I remember about a few years ago in Burma, they said this, that the government had become so severe, they were not letting Muslims fast. So let's say it becomes illegal to fast, or it's completely forbidden from the government, where people cannot fast and they're forced to eat. So in those cases, they are not going to be given the penalty, but they still have to make it up later on in the year. So whenever the ability comes to them, they change their place, they go to a different country, or whenever it opens up, they still have to make up those days of fast. There is no penalty involved here. Water goes down the throat while gargling. Now this is the same masala again. When a person takes a shower, he's gargling, and in that time, water went down. Now he knows for sure water went into his stomach, and because of that, the fast will break. Roza isse toota hai, lekin kafara nahi dena hai usi roze ko. Baad mein phir rakhna hoga in any other time of the year. Inhaling snuff into the nostrils using medicine due to dire need. Now inhaling any of the medicines that are related to inhaling, it can be different. There's the nebulizer, there's any of those pumps that are used for the inhalers that are used for asthma or these type of diseases. Inhaling through the nose, medicine goes in, yes, your fast is going to break. It's not allowed. And if it happens, so let's say I know that tomorrow I have to use the pump at some time, but maybe not, I should still keep the fast and have hope that I won't need it. But if that time comes that I have to use it now, so in that case, I'm going to use the pump and then make up that fast in another time of the year. There's no kafara. And kafara is the penalty, that 60 days of fasting and whatnot. Still, it's going to break. Inhaler from the mouth and the nose is the same. Similarly, eye drops, we're going to come up to that, inshallah. Then we have using medicine due to dire need. Koi bhi dawai istemal karna hai. Ke itne musibat aage tabiyat par ke dawai ab istemal karni hi padi. To roza ko todna padega. Because ab halat nahi rahi, ab lena pad raha hai. To jab roza todenge, to uske qaza lazim aayegi. Lekin yahan chunke bimari aage, to ab gunah nahi hoga is shakhs par. That's the only difference here in kafara. In kafara, the person is sinful and he has to give a penalty along with the making up. So we shouldn't mix these two. That's where people get confused. So in these matters, it's either a mistake or it's something that this person had to do. He had no other option. So medicine, koi bhi dawai istemal kar li roze mein, to roza tootega, us din ki qaza lazim a jayegi. Putting oil into the ear. Now this was a point of a lot of discussion between the scholars. But they've gotten to the point that the ear has a connection with directly to the cavity that leads to the stomach and the brain. It does have a direct connection to that. So the ear, putting oil into the ear, they said that it's going to break the fast in the ear. Other things like putting eye drops into the eyes, that's allowed to do. Putting oil onto the hair, it's allowed. But kaan ke andar tel dalna ya koi dawai dalna, is baare mein, especially the Hanafi ulama, they have said that we have to avoid, and it's going to break the fast if a person does so. Yes. Yes. Eye drops, you can sometimes even feel them in the throat, but because of not going directly, ulama ikram have said that the eye drop does not have a direct connection with the throat and to the stomach. That's why there's a leniency there. But the ear, we don't feel that in our throat, but they say the ear, it is connected in that way. Yes. Can you repeat? Shaving? There's no problem with shaving the hair. Yes, I think if we wait, we can cover most of these things that are coming up. But now in the point, let's discuss it now. When we take a shower, water does go down the ear. But whenever there's a haraj in deen, that will be exempted. So ulama ikram have said you cannot stop water from going into the ear when you're fasting. That becomes a point of need. So because of that, fasting will not be affected. But when you are intentionally putting something into the ear, then in that case it's going to break and you have to do qaza. So no kafara as well. Swallowing blood from the gums. Now this is a problem for many people. If you have this thing that every time you touch your gums it bleeds, we should get it treated before Ramadan comes. Why? Because when it constantly have, you might be using miswak and it's going to start bleeding. So when that happens, you have to spit a few times and see that if my blood is more than the saliva, then in that case, yes, it came out, it went in, the fast is broken, we have to do qaza. And if it's just a little bit, when you're spitting and you only see your saliva and a little pinkish color there, that means it's not more than the saliva. That's how we determine whether this person has enough blood coming out that's going into his stomach or not. Then we have swallowing something edible which was stuck in the teeth. Now when we have our, you know, sahri and we eat to that extent, this is the problem. Now we have stuff stuck in the teeth and it can come out later on in the day. It can be meat, it can be roti, it can be many things. So chane ka jo dana hota hai, the chickpea, that is how ulama ikram have measured this, that if it's to that extent or more and it's coming out and it goes into the stomach, it's going to break the fast and qaza will be necessary. Now let's say it's less than that. The person puts a toothpick in or his hand in and he takes out whatever was stuck and it's less than a chickpea. And he looks at it and he puts it back into his mouth. Now in this case, there's no measurements. It's going to break because you're voluntary now putting it into your mouth. In the case that is stuck, you see how detailed the ulama-i-kiram have went into so that people can be clear on these matters, that if something is stuck in the teeth and it's up to the grain or less, and it comes out and it goes into the stomach, then in that case the fast will break. If it's less than that in the teeth and it comes out and goes, then the fast will not break. And to take it out and put it back in, then in every case it's going to break. To eat and drink after dawn or to break the fast before sunset due to a faulty watch. Now, it can be different watches and this happens a lot. iPhone is showing this, my watch, my wristwatch is showing something else. That's why the masjids, they put those 3-4 minutes in so that we don't end up arguing over that 1 minute and making that mistake. Even though before, people used to look for the sunset completely. And in that case, if it was cloudy and they didn't see the sun go down and they ate it, then they found out from a different area that it set 10 minutes later, then the fast will break. That's why it's important for us to keep ourselves up to date on these matters. Faulty watch, we cannot say, oh, my watch was messed up. Well, this what happened, that happened. You cannot blame materialistic things. It's our fault. We should have done a better job of finding out the time. And because it's a mistake, there's no kafara, but qaza will still be necessary. To eat or drink forgetfully and then continue eating and drinking, thinking that the fast is broken. When a person eats forgetfully, his fast does not break. Bhool ke agar kuch kha le, that's why one hadith says that if an elderly person is eating and forgetfully, don't remind him. Right? That was because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him forget and he's eating. But in general cases, if you eat something the first or second day, it's possible this is going to happen. Because we have the habit of eating throughout the whole year. So one or two things went in the mouth and you don't remember that you're fasting. So inshallah, fast is still intact. Isme koi haraj nahi hai. Lekin jab aadmi ye soch leta hai, chalo maine kha hi liya, to ab aage khata rehta hu. Now when he starts to eat, that's where the fast is going to break. That second time. So pehla dafa bhool kar hua, phir wo khata hi rehta hai ye soch kar ke bhai ab to kha hi liya. So in that case, then what's going to happen? The fast will break and qaza will be lazim. To vomit a mouthful intentionally. Now this is a common mistake that people think that if you vomit, toot jata hai roza. Ye bilkul galat soch hai. Baaz log to khane shuru kar dete hain. When we overeat in sahur and night time, it happens that people throw up after after fajr time or in the daytime. So if it automatically happens, spontaneously, khud hi se nikalta hai. Or ulti aa jati hai to roza nahi tootta ulti aane se. We have to get that through our head. There's only one way where it does break the fast, that you have induced the vomit. Khud ungli dal kar aadmi jab ulti karta hai to us waqt wo ulti jab muh bhar kar aati hai to phir roza toot jata hai. Ek aur isme shakal ye hoti hai ki muh mein aa gayi ulti aur wo jama ho gayi, same thing as the saliva was, itni jama ho gayi ab thookne ke bajaye wo usko nigal jata hai. Now when it goes back in, that's what's going to break the fast. Jab puri aa gayi muh bhar kar, chahe usne ki ho ya khud hi se aayi ho, ab muh rok kar aur nigal jaye to phir ab roza toot jayega. Yes, ji. Yes, that is also in point number 6. But taking blood samples, it does not break the fast. There's nothing going in. So what are some things that constitute both qaza and kafara? Ab ye saza wali cheeze hain ke qaza bhi karna hai us roze ki aur phir kafara bhi dena hai. Eating and drinking intentionally, janbujhkar, koi uzr nahi hai, ek aadmi khulle taur par khana peena kar raha hai. So that is not only is he disrespecting the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he is breaking it openly, not secretly or mistakenly. Janbujhke ek aadmi Allah ke ahkam ko khulle taur par todta jata hai to usne us din ka roza bhi rakhna hai aur phir kafara bhi dena hai. I'm going to explain kafara in the next point. Intentionally having intercourse. When husband and wife get together in the state of fasting and they have intercourse, then that is a penalized way. That means you have to keep that day of fast and kafara. That will be 60 days of fasting, which we'll discuss in. Taking medicine without a valid reason, कोई बात नहीं हुई, थोड़ा सर में दर्द और आपने वो ले लिए, दवाई ले ली. So it's the same as eating and drinking. It goes into that category that this person, he did not need to do it. So then why did he take it? And because of, and valid reasons mean that it is going to harm his health to that extent and he won't be able to fast or he can die. That, those are severe cases. So just to have medicine without a reason, that's going to have qaza and kafara. What is the kafara? Then one must continuously fast for 60 days without a gap. Now this is very strict. There's no options here. Ke ye kar lo ya ye kar lo ye. You have to fast for 60 days. That means two months consecutively. Ek din bhi chhut jaye to dobara 60 day ki cycle shuru karni padti hai. That's how severe it is. And many people, they say, oh, we'll feed 60 masakin. That's not an option here. It's not an option. It's only for those people who cannot fast. The doctors, and they have said that, okay, aap 60 din ka roza rakh hi nahi sakte, ye aapki istidad mein nahi hai, aapki health ijazat nahi deti, to phir wo 60 miskin ko khilane wala option hai. So we have to realize this, that when I make a mistake, man, it's so severe, is kafara is coming with the qaza. So 60 days. So even if there's a day of gap because of Eid, like I said in the beginning, Eid day or is haram to fast. So now because of Eid, this person didn't fast and he went through 30 days and then Eid he doesn't and then another 30 days. That gap of Eid also is going to destroy his cycle. He has to fast all over again the 60 days. So this is not something that can be taken lightly. We should not schedule out our kafara where Eid is coming. That too is a neglect on our side. That's why he has to start all over again. So 60 din ke roze rakhne aur beech mein Eid ka waqfa bhi is baat ki ijazat nahi deta. To pure 60 din ka karna, ek din chhut jaye to dobara se shuru karna hota. Now for some reason this person does not have the ability to fast, then there is this concession given that you can feed 60 masakin. And who are these people? Who miskeen are those people who do not have enough to even feed themselves throughout the whole day. They work for meal to meal or day to day. So 60 miskeen ko khana khilana hai, kitne waqt ka? 2 waqt ka khana khilana hai. That means lunch and dinner, not breakfast, full meals up to their fill. And the amount, if you were to try to take out the cash value of that, it will come out to the same amount of sadqat al-fitr, which we talked about in fidya, that you have to at least give at least the $10 mark. If we say a person who eats outside for two meals, he needs at least $10 to fulfill that, to the least amount, and maybe even more. So if we're going to feed 60 miskeen, we have to keep in mind the 60 miskeen have to be fed for two meals. And the other way to do it is that one miskeen can be fed for 60 days. That's also there. That ek ko aap 60 din tak khila dein, do waqt ka, to wo isi tarah hai ki ek dafa mein 60 ko khila dena. You understand that? I hope it's not getting confused. ठीक है ना, तो या तो 60 लोगों को एक साथ खिला दें दो वक्त का, या एक आदमी को 60 दिन तक दो वक्त का खिलाएं. इट्स द सेम थिंग. एंड इफ वी कैन गिव हिम द कैश वैल्यू, दैट्स आल्सो अलाउड. इट विल बी द सेम एज 3.5 पाउंड्स अ वीक. सो कैश वैल्यू फॉर दैट कैन बी गिवन. सो इफ अ पर्सन हैज मेड 5 डिफरेंट मिस्टेक्स, लेट्स से, और मल्टीपल वायलेशंस इन रमजान, मल्टीपल बहुत सारी गलतियां कर ली, और सारों पे कफारा भी आता है, तो कफारा एक ही दफा देना होगा उन सारी गलतियों. It's not that we have to give 60 fast for every violation. What are some common misunderstood actions that do not break the fast? Now in this line, you'll see that all these things, they do not break the fast. It's just common mistakes. So vomit unintentionally. I already discussed this. When people when people throw up and they feel ab to toot gaya hai, ab khana shuru kar. Jab khana shuru karte hain, us waqt roza unka tootta hai. So they have to make sure that if it happened by itself, then ulti ho jane se, roza nahi tootta. Giving blood samples, and we should try not to do it in Ramadan. Because it's once the blood is extracted from the body, there's weakness that comes with it. So scholars have said that this person, if he starts becoming weak because of giving his blood, then this action is going to become makruh. Why? Because it's leading to the point of him leaving the fast. He's not going to be able to do it. So giving blood samples, that itself is allowed. It does not break the fast. Taking an injection. Now, injection on the arm and any other place in the body, it does not go directly to the stomach or brain. That's why it's allowed. But the scholars have said that the person who takes injection directly into his stomach, that will not be allowed. So that is one point that we should remember about injection. That if it's an insulin that's going directly into the stomach, then we should not, the fast will break and qaza will be lazim. applying surma, nothing wrong with putting surma on. Rubbing oil onto the body, there's nothing wrong with that. Applying itar or perfume. Now, we can put khushbu on, that's fine. But to put an agarbati on and to sit around it and to inhale it. Inhale, there's a difference between inhaling and breathing. That means I'm sitting here and there's all this good fragrance around and it's going in, no problem. But I'm sitting next to the grill, the barbecue grill. Or I'm sitting next to an agarbati and I'm inhaling it. So then that's going to break. And similar case is for smoking. And when people smoke, they're purposely taking that all of that inside. And because of that, the fast will break. And if the inhaling is done on purpose, then fast breaks and qaza is lazim. A mosquito or fly going down the throat unintentionally. Alhamdulillah, we don't have that many flies, but in other countries, it gets to that point that you might have your mouth open and a fly can go in. So if fly or any other mosquito or something goes in unintentionally, it does not break the fast. We should not start eating. And in those cases, one more point here, that wherever qaza comes into effect, let's say the fast broke. One of these things happened, the fast broke. And this person, he should still honor the fast. And he should not continue eating. Ab dusron ke saath uska ehtiram ye hai ki main phir bhi bhooka rahun baaki din tak. Allah se istighfar karne ke bhi ye nadamat ki nishani hai ki galti ho gayi. Ab galti ho gayi iska matlab ye nahi ki main khana bhar bhar ke khana shuru kar dun. Galti ho gayi, uske qaza ka din tay kare aur baaki din bhooke rahe taaki nadamat isse zahir ho. Having a wet dream, to have ihtilam during the fast, it does not affect the fast and does not break. To eat or drink unintentionally, like forgetfully, I've already discussed that. Bhool kar aadmi khata hai, to inshallah uski usme roza nahi tootega. So these are some basic things. I try to gather some juziyat. But if we do have other questions, there is one more about makruh acts. If a person is close with his wife, if he starts kissing, or becomes intimate in a way that it might lead to intercourse, that also, Lama Ikram has said, that's a makruh act because it's leading to that. Other cases, people say, I have control over myself, I can touch, I can kiss, there's no issue with that, then that won't be considered to be disliked. Any clarification we need? So, that's a good question for sisters. That concession is there for that every month, that few days they cannot fast. So their 60 days will continue. In that case, for sisters, that it's not possible for them to go on for 2 months without that break, because it's part of nature. So for them, that 5 to 10 days, or whatever days they have, that won't count as a break in that consecutive. Injection, no, it's not makruh. Taking injection is allowed in fasting. But if there is a point of intoxication, or if there is a point of enjoyment, now it can be a completely different ruling, because it can be a haram act or it can be a makruh depending on what's going in the body. Yeah. Yeah. If he goes to a blood drive intentionally in fasting, if it makes him weak, then yes. So if this person is getting weak and he wants to, you know, give a donation of blood, it's not recommended to do in Ramadan. If it's done, it will not break the fast. See, anything else? Yes. Yes, for sisters praying in the masjid or coming for Tarawih, this is dependent. This masla has to be cleared up, that when sisters come out of their homes, their instructions of covering themselves are very, very severe. And to go into the masjid and into the area, pray and come back, this whole time has to be in that veil. It should not be that they're going to the masjid and they're mingling with men or everyone else can see them. So if there is other harams attached with this, it's better for them to stay at home and pray. So whenever, this is why we instruct the front area that men shouldn't be there. The reason is that that's the only leeway for women to come, that there's full covering guaranteed. If that is compromised, then we're going to tell them to stay home and pray, because why come to the masjid and end up doing more haram? Then it's better to stay at home and do the ibadat. And some ahadith are there that point out for women, they get the equal reward from home as well. So if agar masla parde ka hai, to ghar mein rehke padhna zyada behtar hai. Some masajid we know do not have that type of separation. In everything, the women are together. And because of that, a lot of fitna, many stories you might have heard, and that fitna comes into existence. And, you know, shayateen and nafs get that opportunity so that women should then stay at home and pray. And they don't have to make the concern of going to the masjid. Ji. Yes, yes. For traveling? When a person travels for 48 miles or more, and he makes a niyat of going 48 miles or more, that's where he becomes a musafir in the definition of shariat. So if I have to travel from here all the way to New York, now I know that that's more than 48 miles. So right when I make the intention of traveling, abhi nikalne walo, ab niyat kar li, ab jaise niyat kar li, ab yahan se New York tak aur wapas aane tak, this whole time I am going to be a musafir. Now in that definition for salat, I'm going to cut down for qasr, and for fasting, the obligation, that option is there for me that I can fast later on without without committing a sin. So agar safar mein mushaqqat hai to roze chhodna chahiye. Ulama kehte hain ki aajkal wo mushaqqat nahi pai ja rahi aur bade sukoon se safar ho jata hai. And sometimes when you're fasting and traveling, it's a lot easier. You don't have to stop for food or anything. You don't even have to go to the bathroom for that much. So there's a lot more ease now. So we should not compromise these days of fasting for anything. Even if we do it later on, the equal amount of reward is not there. And some have even said, you fast throughout the whole year, you'll not get the same reward. So I have to be very careful if I'm deciding not to fast because of travel. See how hard it is. And if it's not too hard, then don't give up the fasting. Jijama. Yes. Yes, yes. Nutrition, yes, yes. So for injection, first is we have to see that it's not being injected in the stomach directly. That's one issue there. The other is, why is that injection being used? The one we talk about usually in fifth is for medical reason, that this person needed to take the injection for such and such reason. But for nourishment, you're trying to get around the system again. Right? You're trying to become strong from a different way instead of food for nourishment or intoxication. Nashe ke liye ek aadmi kar raha hai. So every point will change. The ruling will change because of the fact. So if he is going for intoxication, haram, and the fast itself is gone out of the window, because the whole time he's going to be in the halat of sukkar and he can be, you know, in a different level. Then we have the person who is doing for nourishment. Now if we take a IV and it's needed, that is allowed in the fasting. It does not break the fast. So it should not be done purposely, but that I'm taking injection, keeping myself strong. That is wrong. But if I do it, that I had to do it, that the doctors put it onto me, then I can continue fasting because it doesn't directly go into the stomach or the brain. So there is that point of nourishment there, but I should not try from my side that I start taking injections. The legal, just the ruling is that it's allowed to take injections. So if it's for medical reason, we'll see how bad the need is. Then inshallah, there will be flexibility. Ji.
Yeah.
Where are you away from the home? Our airport here? Is where? Okay, in the Watne Kam. See, when we leave our home from the city we are in, let's take our example so we understand. We made the niyat of Safa, and then we go to the airport. So once we have left the Springfield area, now Safa, it doesn't mean you have to go that much. It depends on the niyat. So our niyat is to go more than 48 miles. So even at the airport, we're going to make Qasr Salat, because that is already started. You don't have to count the miles. We know it's more than 48 miles, so even if it's out of Springfield area, in the National Airport, Dallas Airport, you are going to pray Qasr Salat the whole time. Okay? Anything else? Yes. Yes, the ladies, they can pray Taraweeh if they like. They should come and participate. As long as, like I mentioned, there's no point of fitna, and it's safe, it's peaceful, we should involve ourselves with the activities in the masjid. Especially the learning part is very, very important for sisters. And many times they don't come out in these programs and their learning is limited to their homes. So the men benefit and the women don't. So we have to balance that out. And no fitna, but at the same time, iman, amal are still going up. As far as Tarawih is concerned, we are talking about fiqh and the four schools of thought. No one had the opinion from the four to do less than 20. We have to keep that in our mind. And since there's amal mutawatir on this, that since the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, there was never anybody who stood up and said that it's less than 20. So Imam Malik had even opinion up to 36. And some have said that you should pray throughout the night. Now, if there are people who have the 8 rakat opinion in front of them, it's taken from the ahadith of what we call are the ahadith for tahajjud prayer. This is our opinion on this matter. It can be your personal opinion or what you've heard from others. But ulama ikram, from our side, we give the answer that the 8 rakat ahadith are what Rasulullah ﷺ did in and out of Ramadan. I mean, Ramadan ke andar bhi 8 rakat taravi tahajjud padte the, aur Ramadan ke bahar bhi 8 rakat tahajjud padte the. Lekin aapki 20 rakat ke jo taamul hai, ke aapne khud amli taur par 3 din se zyada nahi kiya, lekin sahaba ikram se hame puri tarah se amle tawatir milta hai ke har daur mein 20 rakat kam az kam padi gayi hai, aur baki jo the puri raat jaagne wale bhi the. So they want more than 20. So we have to be firm on this, that if we are following a school of thought, that we stick to one of these. And because our gathering here is mostly Hanafi fiqh, we have no option here but to pray the 20. We should not think less than that, inshallah. Ji. Son, Saad kahan par hai? Please go. If your name is Saad, they're calling you. Your parents are looking for you. There was one question here. If someone is listening to music and movies during fast. So we discussed this in the first point of makruh acts, that one is to do a sin outside Ramadan, then one is to do it in the halat of fasting. So it becomes more severe. You are going to lose out on the benefit of your fast. The farz will be obligated, but the misusing of the eyes and the ears, music, movies, all of that, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. We have to go back and see that fasting was given, so I become pious. But I'm being impious and fasting, so who am I trying to fool? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, shayateen are locked up, so I can't blame anyone but myself. If men are fasting, young men, 16-year-old, is it okay to pray fard namaz at home? Is this 2 or 1? If men are fasting, which are 16-year-old, okay, let's take this one. If they are 16, usually a man, they hit puberty by 16. 15 years old, the ulama ikram have said, so it depends on when the first time the boy sees a wet dream. That's where the limit is. And then if scholars have said that if he doesn't, then 15 years is the mark for puberty. So if he's 16, then it's all farz. The fasting, the salat, he should be doing everything without any concession. Is it okay to pray farz namaz at home? No, without a valid reason. It can be weather, it can be traveling, it can be different reasons. But for no reason, staying at home, you lose the reward of going to the masjid. And scholars have said this person will be sinful for doing so. Is it okay to pray for women of teenage to pray wearing nail polish? Nail polish, we talked about this in the taharat issue, that when the person has nail polish on, their wudu will not be correct because the water is not reaching under the nail polish. So that has to be removed for taharat. And if taharat is wrong, then all the ibadat after that will not count. Wearing see-through scarves. Okay, we understand this. This is a very logical thing. If we are covering, but the idea of covering is not there. If we're wearing a scarf with all this glitter on and tight burqas and makeup, and we just see the face and it has so much makeup on it. So the whole purpose of the burqa and covering itself is defeated. Now, who are we trying to fool? So we have to understand that simplicity and covering, especially for the women, this is a big, big matter. Of fitna, so we have to cover ourselves properly. And wearing skin tight clothing, same matter. If there is rulings, see, Islam is so beautiful, it did not say wear clothing like this person or that person. It gave us guidelines that wear clothing that covers yourself. Don't wear clothing that are similar to women. Don't wear clothing of this color or that color. And you'll find Rasulullah his simplicity was encouraged again and again. So for the matter of women, they have to see what covers them the best. So it's not about just wearing a burqa that's skin tight. That's wrong. We are not instructed to wear burqas, and we're not instructed to wear skin tight clothing. So it has to be fully covered, and at the same time, there should not be any exposure whatsoever. If someone keeps missing fard namaz during Ramadan, is this okay? I know this is a stupid question, but it is for my son. So first of all, we should not direct anyone in our questions and whoever this is. We make dua for every individual that they should be fasting and faraz. You know, last Wednesday we gave out the chart and it said the things we should do in Ramadan. That means the nawafil, the sunnah, the faraz. So if our son is a teenage year, aur bada ho gaya aur baat nahi sunte to do hi cheez ab kar sakte hain. Pehle fikr karni thi ke shuru se aadat dal de. Ab der jab ho jati hai to usko targhib denge aur dua karenge. These are the two things that we make him into, get into some environment that can be encouraging. ठीक है, तरगीब देना, अच्छे माहौल में उसके साथ अच्छे दोस्तों के जोड़ पैदा हो और फिर दुआ भी करते रहे. So for our kids, we should not lose hope. Some of them have gotten really far off track, but at the same time, not to be too pushy and judgmental, because the kids that grow up in America, if they feel that they are being judged in any place, any department, they leave that. No matter if it's good or bad, they feel that, you know, nobody has the right to judge me. So we have to use different hikmats and ideas of how we can keep the teenage group involved with all these activities. The students we see in the masjid, we should ask our children to befriend with them and try to make a program of playing basketball and different connections which the youth can feel that it's fun and they can practice Islam at the same time. Is ghibat makruh in fasting? Yes. When it said sinful acts, ghibat is in one hadith worse than zina. So any of the sinful acts, we have to understand that in fasting, I should be careful that siyam ujunnatun malam yakhriqha. The fasting is a shield until it is not torn up. Now, what tears up this fasting? Kaise hamare fasting ke aur rozon ke andar kaise ye nuksan aata hai? Wo in sare gunahon ki wajah se, ghibat ki wajah se, aur badnazri ki wajah se, aur gaane sunne ki wajah se, in sari surton ki wajah se, roze ke andar وہ نقصان پیدا ہو جاتا ہے جس کی وجہ سے انسان کا تقویٰ نہیں بن پاتا. جی یس رائٹ یس This rule is actually general, that if a person does something wrong, because of that wrong act, we should not look down upon them. This is not just for the 8 rakah or something we might feel is wrong. Looking down on anybody is not, and has never been encouraged in Islam, that today this person looks like he's weak, tomorrow he might be ahead of us in Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown these cases of hidayat, it can change overnight. So one point is to never look down on anyone in any case that we feel it's a wrong deed, ya guna kar raha hai, ya kuch galat kar raha hai. The action of the taravi is sunnat muakkada, it's not farz. Now because of that ruling, we can understand that how severe it is to put it into practice, that okay, sunnat muakkada, insisted upon, I should not leave it. But if somebody else is leaving before the 20, so I have to come up with good assumptions as to why he's going. It's possible he can't stand anymore. It's possible he's going to go home and do the rest 12. So achhe guman dimag mein paida karna ki ye shakhs abhi yahan se to jaldi ja raha hai, lekin kisi uzar ki wajah ye baaki 12 rakatein ghar mein pad lega, ya iske paas itne uzar hai ki ye khada nahi reh sakta, aur ya koi mushakkat pesh aayi jo bata nahi sak raha logon ko. So even sahaba ikram, they had differences. But when somebody felt weak in any department, they came up with good reasons so that when this person would hear, he would say, subhanAllah, this is how people think about me, and then he will come as well. So our actions, they have a big, big effect on what we're doing. So the reason I talked about the 20 rakat is because this platform right now is to give you the academic understanding of what's right and what's not. But as ourselves, we are not scholars to go up to people, to look down upon them, or to explain to them what is right and wrong. We have to do what's right and what our scholars have told us. At the same time, respect others so that these people, that they can also join with our congregation. There's no point to point out, even in the parking areas, we're not going to have that, who's the 8 ones, they park here, 20 there. So a person feels embarrassed in a way that, okay, I'm going for just a little bit while, but now I'm going to be known as the 8 rakat guy, or I'm going to be known as this person or that. So that is, again, a point of embarrassment. So akhlaq cannot be compromised when it comes to masail. I have to do the best to learn what's right for myself, my family, and at the same time, I'm not going to disrespect anyone. I remember Ramadan is there the whole month. So my manners have to be at their best. So if somebody leaves after 8, good reasons. Achhi kisi wajah se ja rahe hain, koi baat nahi. And those who are there, we ask them to come forward and continue praying. The next time, if ulama ikram are there, we should ask them to explain the masla from the mimbar. But I should not personally go up to people and argue over these. Right? This is a lot of discussion going on this matter. And people can, you know, they can even manipulate us for their point of view. Then we might lose what we have. So that's why awam are not encouraged to have these discussions. We have to respect each other and the amal that we are doing. May Allah give us all the tawfiq understanding to put this into practice. Yes, yes, yes. Sorry. Right. In the Hanafi fiqh, it is mandatory. In the Shafi fiqh, is optional. So if you have already always followed the Hanafi fiqh, then that's not an option. If you're praying on your own and you're a traveler, you have to go with the qasr. There's no option there. The concession, we believe, is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so it has to be implemented. It's not an option case. So it will be a difference of fiqh in that case. So if you always follow the Hanafi fiqh, then just stick to it. In every case, the Hanafi fiqh in this matter says that you have to pray qasr. And if you're with the jamaat, the imam is local, you pray full. Jab imam ke saath padhenge, imam muqeem hai, to puri padhenge. Apni namaz padhenge ya khud imam ban jaye. So that's when we're going to do qasr, because that's the command for us. Okay? Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin mubarak wa sallim. Shall I make special dua for brother Fahim, his family? They have arranged the refreshments and all the other brothers who have pitched in to serve and to feed the brothers and sisters that are here tonight. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant barakat and blessing in their families. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Please make special dua for Abdul Malik Sahib, our muazzin, who was very sick. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him shifa and bring him back. Allahumma shfi mardana wa mardal muslimin. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghith. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma. Innaka antal wahhab. Rabbana hab lana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata a'yun waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamu ala al mursalin. Alhamdulillah.